Warning, this podcast is intended for mature audiences only. The podcast will contain adult language and subject matter. It is not suitable for all listeners and ages. Your personal discretion is advised.
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme, get on up, because it's news shoe time. Welcome back, everybody. Joining me, as always, is the soon-to-be very unemployed Winter Soldier, Benjamin Orr.
How's it going?
Yeah, Ben, your time has almost come. It was like 55 here yesterday. It's a nice 40 or so here today. The snow is melting away. You are almost on winter break. Well, it's your winter. Or would it still be your summer? Would it be summer break? You know what? I don't know how you do the seasons, being a seasoned soldier. Good work. Keep fighting the good fight.
I'll put it into perspective for you. It's kind of like Santa Claus. Like, he has that one night where he goes out, and then he has the rest of the year to do nothing. That's kind of like me.
What does Santa call the rest of the year, do you think?
Extended break? I don't know.
Does he just call it, like, fat guy time? I don't know.
Fat guy time?
Overweight, maybe. Overweight bearded man time?
He's skinny the rest of the year, but then he has to gain weight like in late November.
How funny would that be? Is like all summer he's like hitting the gym and he gets all bulk, but then in September he's got to just eat nothing but fucking melted butter. Fucking pack that fucking fat back on.
Gross.
That'd be really funny if like during the off season Santa was like hitting the beaches in Florida. Hello, ladies. He's just this rockin' hot bod with a fucking old man beard. Sweet. Sweet. Well,
but yeah, so I will be unemployed for a while, and then when next winter comes back, I will be on the job again, so.
How?
I appreciate your patronage.
You're welcome, I guess.
Maybe? I don't know.
Question mark?
Anyway.
Well, anyways, yes, like Ben said, anyways. One more time. Anyways, so Ben, this week, I've done these in the past, but this week there were a bunch of them that were coming fast and furious. And every once in a while, the website BuzzFeed, which I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar with, they will do these things like in the past I've done ones that were 24 questions that gay men have for straight men, 24 questions that, you know, Mexican people have for Americans. Like, and it's just like these random questions that are submitted to BuzzFeed by weird people. So what I've been doing is publicly answering them on Facebook all week. But I wanted to have some fun and see what Ben answered for the 24 questions Britain has for the United States. Now, I will say I did the Australia one, and Australia has some sort of fucked up fascination with our coins and our money and then our cheese. Apparently, they don't have cheddar cheese there, and I feel really bad for them. It was unfortunate to hear.
They need to get liberated with some American.
Yeah, man. So, but anyway, so I'm going to ask Ben these 24 questions just to get his honest response, and then I'm going to run these by our friend Lee James Murray and just see what he has to say for himself and for us. Ben, first up, why must we always be so patriotic?
Oh, that's cute. Is somebody still butthurt about the Revolutionary War?
Yeah, they probably are. Good answer. Next question. It's actually a picture of a map with a bunch of negative degrees.
I actually have it up. I'm going along.
Oh, you are. Okay. So. Why would anyone live somewhere where it gets this cold?
Well, it goes back to something you and I talked about a few weeks ago. It sucks. It does. But the cost of living is cheap. And it does suck. I don't want to go out when it's, you know, negative 10. But, you know, I also don't want to live somewhere where I have to pay rent $3,000 a month.
Yeah, the cost of living is cheap because it's a fucking hellhole. That's just reality. Number three is, why do so many people give this guy such a hard time and it's a picture of Obama?
Wow, where do I even start?
Yeah, that question makes me sad.
It doesn't make me sad, but...
Well, it makes me sad that, like, other countries are like, man, why do you guys give this guy such a hard time? Oh, that makes me sad. But then they have a picture of Tony Blair down below, and that guy's such a pussy.
I thought that was Dave Cameron.
Or Dave Cameron, I'm sorry, you're right. I'm so used to saying Tony Blair. Because Tony Blair always looks like a fucking pansy. The next one is, was this setting totally necessary? Now, again, for those who can't see it, it is a chicken nuggets setting on a stovetop. Ben, was this setting totally necessary?
I mean, does your oven or microwave not have that? I mean,
I'm pretty sure that theirs don't.
I mean, of course it was necessary. I mean, there's nothing more that I want to make sometimes than just some good old chicken nuggets. And I'll be goddamned if I don't have a chicken nugget button.
I've never tried the chicken nugget button. I don't know that my appliances have it, so I think maybe it's just a specialty thing.
Well, I don't know, because it's like the ones that like have the popcorn button or the pizza one.
Right. I have those.
Yeah.
I don't have a chicken nuggets one, though. Next question. Does alcohol taste better if you drink it out of a gun?
That's the price of freedom.
It's the price of freedom. My answer to that one was out of glass, it's delicious. Out of plastic, it's terrible. So it depends on the gun. Question number 6. Why is everything so much bigger? Because fuck you, that's why.
Yeah. I mean, I think at some point the British people are getting us confused with Texas. Mm-hmm. Because in Ohio and Wisconsin, we don't go to the fact that everything is bigger. That's kind of just Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. So I think you're getting confused here, England, on what's what.
The next one isn't a question, so we're going to skip it. Like, it's not even a question. I don't even know how the fuck it got in there. Do you actually have any of your own actors, or are you just going to keep stealing ours? It's a good question. I like that question.
Well, I mean, the matter of the fact is...
You mean the fact of the matter is?
Either way. potato, potato. Come on, Hollywood, London. I mean, let's be realistic about this, England.
Right. We have Hollywood. That's why your actors keep coming here. We're not stealing shit. They just want to get paid. They want to work in the West End for fucking 50 years. They want to get paid, son. And let's be real, your actors are better. I don't care who knows it.
They are. I mean,
that's just reality. I mean, so I mean, take pride in the fact that your country whoops ass.
Because I remember reading something about the producers of The Walking Dead, and when they were casting people, they actually didn't know that Andrew Lincoln was British. They had no idea.
Yeah, there were lots of people when they started watching the show who didn't know he was British, and it shocked them. All right, next question. What do you have against the letter U? Now, to put that in context, they're specifically asking about how we spell the word color, which is C-O-L-O-R. They spell it C-O-L-O-U-R. Ben, your retort.
It's too much effort to pronounce it color. It's color, you know. Why go through the extra effort of just putting that sixth letter in there? Just make it five letters. Make it easier.
I always just assumed that after the Revolutionary War, we just wanted to disassociate ourselves with England so much, the U was like the second or third thing to go. We got rid of the dialect, we got rid of the disgusting food, and then we got rid of the letter U in color. I don't know. Fuck how you spell color. Then they also want to know, what exactly does freedom taste like?
Well, come here and find out.
I mean, if you don't know, I can't tell you. That's really how that shakes down. We're skipping the next question because it's stupid. They're arguing for having more confusing maps, and that's just fucking nonsense. Next question. What's with the whole, quote, being happy and confident and talking to strangers, end quote, thing?
Well, I'm actually kind of the wrong person to ask this, but if I can make it a guess, I would say more or less that, you know, I really hate to say this too, but you only live once. You know, why go through life being a, you know, cynical, jaded person when, you know, say hi to a guy in the street for once, you know, just be open.
I mean, we're just friendly people. Like, just because you guys want to be hermits your whole life, don't pass that shit off on us. You guys need to be nicer. Just saying. Next question. Why must you confuse us thankless Brits with the concept of tipping? This question is a little confusing.
We do?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that we confused bad tippers with British people. I thought that because based off the picture that BuzzFeed provided, I was like, do English people have mullets? I don't know. That's a confusing question. This next one makes me so angry. It's a picture of an enormous plate of bacon with a gun next to it, followed by some eggs and toast. And it says, you know this isn't bacon, comma, yes, question mark? No. No, I don't know that. It looks like a huge plate of bacon.
Yeah, maybe I'm just not seeing it, but that's definitely bacon. And quite a lot of it. I'm sure the guy from last week would have enjoyed that plate.
What are you talking about that isn't bacon? That question makes me angry, too. This one should be pretty easy, Ben. Why are your TV commercials for drugs so batshit crazy?
Have you never seen the side effects they cause?
I think that might be what they're referring to. But yeah, I mean, that's good entertainment. Why must all your cups be red?
No, that's just silly.
Yeah, that's not fair. Cups are red. Solo makes a blue cup, too. Don't be like that.
Yeah, and then you got the ones from, I forget the company name, but you have, like, the white cups, and they have, like, the designs on them and shit.
Yeah, man. Don't only have red cups. Fuck's the matter with you? We got taste, motherfuckers. Next question. Why do your toilets have so much water in them?
Because we're surrounded by two oceans.
Because
we can get all that water we want.
Because we're always eating freedom, bitch. This is actually – all right. Some of these are really dumb, and that's why I like answering them. But this is actually a really good question. Why are there giant gaps in public toilet doors? That's a good question, Ben.
The only reason I could think that this is a thing is because – sometimes if you go into a bathroom and a door is shut, you might not know somebody's in there unless you look down and see that there's feet there. Because nobody knocks. Let's be honest. Nobody knocks in a bathroom unless it's just like an actual bathroom which has one toilet and the door's on, you know, the door says, you know, unisex bathroom or whatever. But if it's like an actual stall, nobody knocks on those. So, you know, it's a little awkward, but you want to see if somebody's in there. So...
yeah. That's a tough question, though. It's a good question.
Oh, it is a good question.
But... next question. How do we get in on this whole breakfast pizza thing? I mean, just fucking make some breakfast pizza.
Doesn't seem that hard.
Yeah. What do you mean? How do you get in on it?
I think they kind of answered their question.
Yeah, like, what do you mean, how do you get in on it? You just make breakfast pizza. Jesus Christ, do we have to do everything for you? My God, save you from two world wars. Now you guys can't even make a goddamn pizza? Jesus Christ. All right, next question. This one actually makes me mad a little bit, too. Technologically, you're up there with the best of them. Thanks for the compliment. So why do you still have to sign when paying the bill rather than use chip and PIN?
By chip and pin, I'm assuming they're referring to the thing where you sign on the thing.
Well, yeah, and I think they're talking about like a PIN number, like a debit card. So, like, I think that we do use those things, but we also have to sign sometimes. That question, I don't understand it. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, because, like...
We can do PIN. Yeah, like, it doesn't make sense.
Because if they're talking about the thing where you, like, write on the screen, I'd much rather prefer just to use a card because... when I, you know, have to renew my license and I sign my name, it looks like a fucking first grader drew it.
Yeah.
So, no, that's why I don't like to sign on those electronic devices. I like to sign with an actual pen.
All right. And now, Ben, there are a couple more questions, but we're going to end with this one because this is the only one that I've wanted to hear you answer this entire time. Ben, exactly how many countries take part in the World Series?
Well, more than you'd think. You got Canada, you got... Japan, you've got parts of Latin America, which make up of any amount of countries, Venezuela, Cuba, Mexico. So yeah, just not one, because everybody has the preconceived notion that, oh, well, they call it the World Series, but they only play it in America, but you do have players from all over the world. So
technically, I think the answer is two. Technically, it's just Canada and America, but that's
because, well, yeah, you're going based on the actual teams.
But again,
that are
we go out and get the best players from all over the world. In baseball, baseball and hockey both are. It's a much more common thing to pull players from other parts of the world to make up a major league roster here in America. So, it's a fair question, though. I get it. It's cute. It's funny. Yeah, it's a World Series. Fuck off. You know what? You're just mad that no English people ever make it to the major leagues, ever. I get
it. Do English people even play baseball, or do they play
cricket? No, they play. Yeah, they play cricket, which is like, it's like baseball if they like threw out the rule book and just got drunk and were like, "Here's the new baseball." You throw the ball, you hit it with the stick. Don't field it right there because that'll be a doofer. And if you run out to the far reaches of the other corner, that's a twofer doofer. Somebody tried to explain cricket to me once and I almost had a coronary. I was like, what is this game? What are you saying to me right now? None of this makes sense. The pitcher throws it and you have to hit it on a bounce? That right there, your game is dumb. I'm out. This isn't racquetball. Yeah. My God.
I can't get behind that noise. But thank you, England, for the semi-entertaining questions.
Yeah, some of them were fairly spot on. The Australian one, the reason we didn't do that one is because it's stupid. Just furthering the concept that I think Australians are maybe, you know, a little not smart. I said it.
Too many kicks to the head from the Joey.
Oh, yeah. Those Joeys, they will kick you. You know, and if they kick you hard enough, you'll forget who you are, Ben.
Really?
Like the woman in our first story. That's a little false advertising. She never really forgot who she is. She just, you know, she went missing. The headline reads, "Missing woman unwittingly joins search party looking for herself." A group of tourists spent hours last Saturday looking for a missing woman near Iceland's it looks an awful lot like I'm saying Elgja Canyon. Does that sound right, Ben?
Sure.
Elgja Canyon, only to find her among the search party. The group was traveling through Iceland on a tour bus and stopped near the volcanic canyon in the southern highlands. One of the women on the bus left to change her clothes and freshen up. When she came back, nobody recognized her, so they started looking for her. She also didn't recognize her own description, so she joined in the search looking for herself. Ben, this is awesome. First of all, that someone could describe you and you not recognize it is kind of amazing.
I just don't know why they didn't have a picture.
Well, because if she was traveling alone, it makes sense to me. If she's traveling alone by herself, nobody knows her, then it's understandable. She completely changes clothes in a bathroom real quick and comes back out. Maybe she puts on a hat. All of a sudden, nobody knows what she looks like.
Well, no, I'm not saying there. I'm saying, like, if she was talking to a relative and then she suddenly stopped and they knew where she was, I feel like they would go there and say, "Have you seen this woman with a picture?" And be like, "Oh, yeah, I've seen her."
I think you're misunderstanding, Ben. I think all this was it was like a low – it was just a little search party. So it was like just around the little park area. So like they knew she couldn't have got very far. It's not like there was like a nationwide manhunt or anything. It was just like a small group of people who were on this tour were out looking for her because she went to the bathroom and they thought she never came back.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying though is like if she was texting somebody and then she just stopped – they would be kind of concerned, like, well, why did she just stop? You know, they were talking to someone on the phone, and the phone just stopped. And that's what I'm saying, is then maybe they could have gone to that area, the relative or the friend or whoever, and said, you know, have you seen this person? If it got to that point, certainly. But, yeah, I feel like if there are certain features about you, such as, you know, your hair, your face, maybe your height and weight, and you're like, yeah, that sounds an awful lot like somebody I know. I wonder who that could be.
Well, like, they would have described what you were just wearing, and you just changed. Like, you just went into the bathroom and changed into what you are currently wearing. And when they just describe what you were last wearing, wouldn't your brain just go, oh, that was me? Or, like, at some point, wouldn't they have been like, you know, once we find her, she went to the bathroom, you know, a few minutes ago. We're still looking for her if you've seen her. And wouldn't you be like, I was just in the bathroom a few minutes ago.
Nah, it couldn't be me.
Yeah, the only way this works is if she has, like, dementia or, like, a mild case of Alzheimer's where she just walked in there, changed her clothes, and forgot who she was for half an hour.
Which, if that's the case, she shouldn't be on tour guides.
I agree. Well, she wouldn't – I don't think she's the tour guide.
Well, no, she shouldn't be on
– Right.
You know what I'm saying.
You said she shouldn't be on tour guides, and which implies that, like, she's molesting tour guides. Which also could be fun. There's not a lot to do in Iceland. I don't know what you know of Iceland. But all of the information that I have about Iceland is that Iceland is very green and Greenland is covered in ice. I learned that from the Mighty Ducks Part 2.
I see.
A hot Icelandic chick told me that.
Well, I can't fault your logic there. So.
Thank you. I wouldn't either. It was really hot. The search was called off at 3 a.m. when it became clear that she accounted for herself during the search. So, like, they wasted their entire day looking for this woman, and at no point did she go, oh, fuck, are they looking for me? Like, that's amazing to me. Like, that for hours and hours they were looking for someone who matched her description, and she just had no fucking idea.
Yeah, but, you know, I see it also in her light as well, because just because somebody is describing something, unless they specifically said, you know, the lady who was wearing the blue shirt with, you know, the stripes on it, unless they specifically said that, unless they were giving, like, vague things, like, she has medium-length brown hair and blue eyes, that, you know, that could be anybody, and honestly. And I could see where she would be like, well, maybe there's another person out here. But unless they said something that was like, this is defining of what this person looked like, I can kind of get it. Not that I fully get it, because if you are the only person in Iceland that has, you know, brown hair and blue eyes, then maybe you need to look in the mirror a little bit. But I can certainly see both sides of the coin here.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time. I try to think about it. Ooh, holy cow. I just hit my knee on the table, and it hurt terribly. Ow. God damn, that really stings. I have a hard time, again, like, if somebody, like, if I spilled coffee on myself and I went into the bathroom and changed and came back out and somebody's like, yeah, we're looking for the guy with the coffee stain down his shirt, I wouldn't be like, oh, who's that poor asshole? You know, like, I feel like if somebody describes you and what you were just wearing, that your brain should just kind of be like, oh, you know what? Or at least, like, your brain would maybe just go, oh, they might be looking for me, I better go check. Like, unless she's, what if she was like in the protective services? So, like, she was, her identity was under duress. And so she, like, has to keep changing personalities on Icelandic tours in order to avoid some sort of, I don't know, ex-lover
who happens. So every time she changes her clothes, she changes personalities. She was Martha, and now she's Gretchen.
Yeah. Isn't there a show on TV like that?
Well, I don't know. But I don't know why. But every week, it seems like we get a story, and this is a story this week, that I feel like is the basis for an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Like Charlie loses himself or something.
The gang loses itself. It seems really bizarrely far-fetched, and yet I guess it is easy to understand how it could happen, but I'd like to think that had I been the person they were looking for, I would be like, that's me, stop looking. But it wasn't until like 3 a.m. where they were like, hey, who's that lady in the sun hat? She wasn't on the tour bus before. And she's like, oh, well, I was wearing a green blouse. Uh-oh. Oh, jeez. I hope it went exactly like that.
Maybe she just had memory loss.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, there are things that do cause that.
What do you mean, Ben?
Like in story number two.
Beautiful.
Headline reads, Texas Republican wants to legalize pot because, quote-unquote, God doesn't make mistakes, end quote.
Amen, brother.
The most progressive plan yet to fix Texas's backwards marijuana policy has come from, of all places, a Longview Republican. A new bill from State Representative David Simpson would control pot just like any other plant. He said, quote, I am proposing that this plant be regulated like tomatoes, jalapenos, or coffee. Current marijuana policies are not based on science or sound evidence, but rather misinformation and fear. And he goes on to say that, quote, all that God created is good, including marijuana. God did not make a mistake when he made marijuana that the government needs to fix, end quote. He did note that it's good for people who have PTSD, people who suffer from seizures, and just general enjoyment. So, I never would have thought, A, that a government representative from Texas would be in favor of this, let alone a Republican senator, state representative from Texas.
I mean, so, this is amazing on a lot of levels, because if he can get other Republicans to get behind this, the government could just be like, marijuana is legal, let's go. Because I feel like the holdup for a lot of people is somehow based on some sort of weird religious tie-up. And for this guy to be like, look, this God created this plant, we should use it, that I'm not sure how to feel, though, because he's a Texas Republican, so like my life experience tells me that he's not a smart person, but based off of everything in this article, he actually is a smart person. And what he's doing is he's using God and religion to justify passing a bill for marijuana. It's actually very smart. He may not realize what he's doing, but what he's doing is actually incredibly intelligent.
Because, I mean, besides, I guess, sports, what's more influential in Texas? You know, religion.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much all there is to it. Now, a Democrat from El Paso, Texas, said that what he filed is a fairly typical decriminalization bill, but he uses it, you know, under the guise of all that God created is good, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's pretty fucking awesome. Again, if somebody in the state of Texas is getting on board with this, I mean, what excuse do the rest of you have? God created this beautiful plant. He wanted us to ingest it for the betterment of our time on this planet. Decriminalize it, man. Or at the very least, decriminalize it. Because that's what God would want, right?
God would want you to smoke pot that's decriminalized.
If God doesn't want me to smoke pot and watch SpongeBob, then what are Saturday mornings for? I'm just saying, what purpose do those beautiful, glorious mornings serve?
I mean, if I wouldn't have read this story, I would have been like, no, there's no way that this is like in the realm of possibility even happening. And I mean, when you come down to it, looking at the effects, and I've heard this debate many, many times, you know, the differences between what marijuana does and what alcohol does. And when it comes down to it, I mean, marijuana is far less and I don't know if this is the right terminology, but I guess a violent substance than alcohol is, because...
Yeah, violent, I mean, alcohol violent is not of, right. But I think that the impulse to behave violently is enhanced by alcohol.
Yeah, the tendencies are there.
Yeah, like...
Through the influence.
You never go to a baseball game and watch a couple of stoners fight it out in the parking lot. But if you go to a ballpark and watch a bunch of drunks in a parking lot, there's going to be at least one or two fistfights before the day is done.
Okay, it can cause aggression. And some people can, and not everybody.
Wait, alcohol or marijuana?
Alcohol.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't know anyone that marijuana causes aggression in. So
No, alcohol.
Okay, all right.
But I just think it's kind of to the point where, as a country, we should be like, yeah, I don't see why it's a problem. I mean, if anything, I feel like a lot of people would jump on board with this only for the fact that it could be taxed and they could make a huge profit off of it. That's why I think companies and the government should look at it from that standpoint, not just because of the recreational, yeah, man, let's get high sort of thing, but like people could make a really good like business off of this.
Well, they already are. I mean, I thought that once Colorado reported that not only did they make almost $100 million in tax revenue, but that they were able to give the residents of Colorado a kickback on their tax returns, I was like, well, now every state is going to do this. But It's happening slowly but surely, because now we have Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Colorado, and Washington, D.C., where it is now legal. It is decriminalized. So I think that we're slowly but surely making our way there, because there's one thing that – and I say this a lot, but I think it's extremely true. The only thing that Democrats and Republicans truly agree on is more jobs and more money, and legalizing marijuana – is farm jobs, it's retail jobs, it's distribution jobs, and it is extra money for everybody.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I don't. And I think it's interesting that he's using a religious spin on this, you know, to say that, well, God says that, you know, marijuana is good. And I'm like, interesting. I'm surprised that the man's still breathing in the state of Texas, that they haven't, like, picketed his house and tried to come off of a bridge. But granted, I might just be stereotyping people.
I mean, a little bit, but you're also not, you know, you're not too far off reality.
But it talks also in the article about how there is a 9-year-old girl who has intractable epilepsy and has come to face America marijuana and reform in Texas. And she's recently moved to Colorado to seek treatment for her epilepsy. So, I mean, that's the thing, is people forget that the whole medical marijuana thing, it can be used to help soothe things. I mean, that's why a lot of, not a lot of, but some cancer patients use it, you know? Because it helps soothe these problems and diseases people have and issues. It just, whether it's, you know, a physical thing like epilepsy, or whether it's, you know, mental stress or whatever. I mean, there aren't that many cons to it.
Yeah. I mean, again, I always believe that something shouldn't be illegal unless, like, there's a victim. And again, if you legalize it, there's no victim. You know, you just regulate it like you do everything else. I think it's very simple. You just treat it like you do alcohol and tobacco, and we can all move on with our lives. Although, Ben, there is one problem that marijuana creates that we'll never be able to overcome.
What's that, Lou?
And that's stoned rabbits, Ben.
Tell me more.
Like in our next story. The DEA warns of stoned rabbits if Utah passes medical marijuana. Now, first of all, let's start with just the fact that the concept of stoned rabbits is hysterical to me, because I used to own a pet rabbit. I had rabbits growing up. Ashley and I had a rabbit for 8 years. The thought of a rabbit being stoned to bejesus is just comical, because they already are such little weird little creatures. Anyways, I digress. Utah is considering a bill that will allow patients with certain debilitating conditions to be treated with edible forms of marijuana. If the bill passes, the state's wildlife may cultivate a taste, end quote, for the plant, lose their fear of humans, and basically be high all the time. That's according to testimony presented to a Utah state panel. This guy, I don't even want to say it because this is so goddamn ridiculous, but here's his quote. I deal in facts, period. I deal in science. I mean, obviously he doesn't. He is a member of the marijuana eradication team in Utah, and he raided a retiree's garden and seized a number of okra plants. So clearly this guy deals in facts and deals in science, because as you'll note, Ben, okra and weed look nothing alike.
Because clearly the logical step here is to just start raiding people's houses
and
plants.
Especially old retirees, and then taking their okra. Fucking idiot. So this is interesting to me because, like, these aren't politicians. These are, like, federal enforcers. Like, these are the people who like, their salary is paid by finding illegal drug grows. So, of course, they're going to tell you not to let marijuana be legal, because they will be out of a job. That is their job. So, yeah, of course. And to pretend like rabbits are going to be, like, fucking the dude from the Big Lebowski's, they're already kind of like that, man.
Well, no, they can be a little skittish, but I guess it depends on the rabbit as well.
And what would be so bad if humans and rabbits lived in harmony together? Like, why is it such a bad thing if they aren't afraid of humans anymore? Like, if that is your basis for this argument, that we shouldn't let rabbits get high because then rabbits and humans will be friends, I don't see the downside.
He said that some illegal marijuana sites he saw grow, quote-unquote, rabbits that had cultivated a taste for marijuana. One of them refused to leave us, and we took all the marijuana around him, but his natural instincts to run were somehow gone, end quote. You know, that very well could just be how the rabbit acts in general. I mean, unless you're spending your time around rabbits and can observe their natural habitat and instincts, that just might be how they are sometimes. Not every rabbit is the same.
Yes, all rabbits are not created equal. Now keep in mind too that they haven't threatened to outlaw alcohol for drunk squirrels or anything like that. So that's good.
Or drunk bears.
Drunk bears. Well, drunk bears is threatening to rip countries apart. So we all have to be alert about the drunk bears. But I just this is so dumb. Like, I feel like our country just always is fighting as hard as it can to regress. Like, instead of being progressive and moving forward like we're supposed to, there's this contingent of our country that wants so badly for things to not change. And, like, get over it, man. Like, what a flimsy-ass excuse. I feel like a high school debate team could whoop your ass with this. Like, this is pathetic. If this is your argument to, like, I would laugh in your face if I was the judge. I would be like, oh, yeah, we should really be afraid of those stoned rabbits since we're 15 times their size. And since they won't even move, we'll just be able to walk up to them, pick them up by their ears, sling them over our shoulders, and they'll just giggle at us the whole way. Yep, what a threat. Fucking Utah. Really? Really? Stoned bunnies.
And to me, it seems, like you mentioned, that not is there just a, I guess, a movement of regression, but it's like if there is a certain agenda in this country, and if it's an agenda against something, I mean, God forbid trying to get it to be positive again, which marijuana is on this slope, people will bring up the most ludicrous, ridiculous arguments against it, and people will be like, oh, well, I mean, marijuana is bad, isn't it? We shouldn't do it. And if it's doing this to rabbits, you know, oh, no, it's terrible. They will use baseless accusations, and people will follow them. People think, oh, my God, they're right. But they're not, you know, and it's just like you have kind of like this, I don't want to call it fear-mongering, but like these scare tactics.
Oh, no, it is fear. It is fear-mongering.
Yeah, I guess that's true. That they use to try and reinforce the fact that these things are quote-unquote bad, and they're not, and it's just funny to me that people follow along with this without doing any research, and that's why things like marijuana have such a negative connotation, because people haven't done any actual research for that, you know? And it's just, it's just hilarious to me that in blind masses, people follow, and that there are jobs, like what this guy has, to do that. And they can do to get paid on a regular basis to do fear-mongering.
Again, their job is to go out and find illegal drugs. So if you remove an illegal drug from their repertoire, you're taking away some of their livelihood. Of course they're threatened. And they have so little basis of knowledge about marijuana that the best defense they could come up with was, well, if you allow medicinal marijuana, all the rabbits are going to be getting high. Oh, well, I mean, that'll happen, is my response to that. Well, that'll happen. Rabbits also eat my fucking parsnips every summer, so what fucking difference does it make?
You know, and, yeah, really, I mean, God knows what those rabbits actually get into that could be, you know, far more detrimental to their health, and we're going to worry about them getting stoned.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad to see where we have priorities set up here.
Good for them, though. Those rabbits deserve it. They work hard. They deserve a little break every now and again.
I mean, it's a hard life, isn't it?
It is a hard life.
So, I mean, maybe at some point in the future, America will actually grow, I don't know, a mind. And be able to think for, you know, itself and not just follow people. Oh, because it's bad. I say it's bad, and I'm not going to provide any facts, but it's bad, believe me.
Yeah, I think we can grow out of that. I think we as a society will put it together at some point, but not if this next guy has anything to say about it.
What do you mean, Lou?
Oh, Ben, the mother of all stupidity is about to occur. Man confesses to killing, brings body to lawyer's office. This is real. This is not fake. A Lee County, which is in Florida, man who drove a dead neighbor to his attorney's office will not be arrested. John Marshall walked into Harris's Fort Myers law firm Wednesday, claiming he had killed his neighbor, Ted Hubble, in self-defense. And he brought the body with him in the bed of his pickup. The sheriff's department declined to confirm whether he would be arrested or not, but he, as of now, has not been arrested. Mr. Marshall did have injuries. There are pictures of it, and they're gnarly. It's like the guy knocked his teeth out of his mouth, but his fillings are still there. It's really gross. So there was obviously an altercation, and, you know, somebody had to go. And since it was Florida, Ben, what do you think they were fighting about?
The fact that his one pet alligator ate his, I don't know, his dog.
Sure. I was thinking one of their worm farms got raided for some of the best night crawlers, and that was what the fight was about.
Yeah, because they were getting those worms ready for the dung beetles that they were gonna train to eat in the next dung beetle eating contest.
There you go. Yeah, this looks like the type of guy who would train dung beetles. I mean, this is one of the stupidest things ever. Not really because, like, the crime itself is unfortunate, but those things do happen. You know, sometimes you have to kill somebody out of self-defense, so I get that part. But Jesus Christ, why do you put the body in the trunk of your car and drive it to your lawyer's office? I can think of, 10 other places I would go first.
No, he just didn't put it in the trunk. He put it in the back of the pickup truck.
Yeah, can you imagine driving down the highway and, like, all of a sudden, it looks like somebody sits up and then they just come flying out of the back. Can you imagine how horrifying that would be if you were driving behind that truck, Ben?
I mean, there are ways to go about this. This is not one of them. And I would say, if anything, this man is efficient with what he does, because he does want to prove that, hey, you know, this was a case of self-defense. But this is not the way you go about that.
Well, no, but I mean, you know, he could have just called the police right then and there. I mean, he has teeth knocked out of his skull. Like, that's not something that, you know, you can just do. Like, they were clean. You can tell because, again, his fillings are still in his mouth. Teeth are gone. Fillings are still there. Which, again, he got his teeth literally knocked out of his skull. So, like, again, I believe that he killed that guy in self-defense. I really do. The reason this article made it onto the news show this week is that he took the time to load it into his truck, drive to his lawyer's office, and then think his lawyer would be like, don't worry, I'll take the body from here. Somebody's been watching too much Breaking Bad on loop.
Yeah, I mean, if you learn anything from Breaking Bad, you got to dissolve the body in acid.
Yeah, I mean, gross. We got to stop saying stuff like that. We're going to get in trouble someday. But for now, you're absolutely right. You should have chopped it up, boiled in acid. But no, again, if it was truly an accident, then you have nothing to hide. But again, why would you go to the lawyer's office? Like, that's the part where I still am having qualms about this man's brain working properly. It just seems like it's not something that I would do right away.
The lawyer said, and I'm not shocked. He said he's never had to deal with a case involving a client bringing a body with him.
If he had dealt with it before, then I would be really concerned.
It's just, yeah, I'd be like, what the fuck? Because I'm assuming the man, John Marshall, who killed his neighbor, it said he did it late Wednesday night. So was he just sitting there overnight with a body just in the back of his pickup truck? He's just sitting there, like, you know, tuning into the radio, waiting for the guy to come in the next morning. Because what would you do then?
Don't be ridiculous, Ben. He loaded it up into the truck at night, went in and got some sleep, and then drove it over the next morning. Don't be ridiculous. He just left the dead body in his truck overnight. What was going to happen to it? Raccoons? Come on.
Okay, maybe I just read that one because I thought he drove over after he killed him.
Oh, like drove over him?
No, drove over to the lawyer's office at night after he killed the man.
Oh, you know, I don't think it says. I think in my brain I just wanted him to, like, leave him in there overnight.
Either way, I mean, Calling the police is probably your best bet, because they're not going... Even if you killed the man, which he did, you obviously are going to have, you know, your chance to say why and what happened. This really is like a dog who kills a bird and then brings it back to the owner. And is like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
That's essentially what this is. The lawyer is like, I don't know what to do with this.
I just think it's interesting that, like, that's your first impulse. We talk about this sort of stuff on the show all the time. Like, I think that I take for granted that I have a functioning human brain, because, like, if that happened, literally the first thing that I would do would be to call the police. Because especially if I had nothing to hide, like, if I had no reason to, you know, to be nervous or afraid, I would just call the police and be like, this man tried to kill me. I killed him first. Help. I wouldn't be like, time to load up a dead body in my truck. Yeah, taking the dead body and I'm taking it to my lawyer. Like, singing a song, driving on the freeway, listening to the Beach Boys. Like, it seems like this is the type of man who I can't be friends with.
You know, yet again, I'm going to look at this from both sides of the coin here. I obviously see the side we've been talking about, but the other side being the man's side and how his brain works. And I'm not defending him. I'm not. But
it sounds like you're about to defend him.
I know. But shock affects people in different ways.
And that's fair.
When shock happens, I mean, we're not thinking properly. So, at least he didn't, like, I forget what story it was that we did a while back where the lady got into the car accident and then she started stripping on top of the car.
Ah, yes.
He didn't do that. I mean, I think he had a plan in his head and it just wasn't executed how he thought it was going to go. Like, I need to talk to my lawyer. I need to talk to the police, but let me take the body to my lawyer to show that, hey, this actually happened the way I said it did. Because either way, I feel like you'd look more guilty carrying the body around than just leaving it where it is.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, what happens if you get pulled over on your way to the lawyer's office? It's going to look way more suspicious if you have a fucking bloody sheet in the back of your truck versus just calling the police and standing next to a dead body. Isn't that weird, though? As I said that out loud, that sounds really weird. But it's reality. Like, I feel like you would be in more trouble for having the dead body in your car than you would be for standing right next to it with your phone waiting for the police to arrive. And again, the logic on this is just – it's a head-scratcher, Ben.
Yes, it is. But not much as a head-scratcher as our last story, Lou.
Good. Good. Good segue.
Story reads, we're not kidding. Police helicopter crew scrambled to gorge find goats.
The emphasis on that headline was off a little.
I know. So I got the point across. A police helicopter went on a 40-mile round trip after reports of a cry for help, only to discover it was a goat and her kid. A member of the public dialed the emergency number, because this takes place in Somerset, England, after they heard screams inside of Cheddar Gorge, which I assume is some type of...
delicious cheese cavern.
Yes, that's exactly where I was going with that. The National Police Air Service helicopter scrambled to the popular tourist attraction, but within minutes of arriving on the scene, the only thing they found were a goat and her offspring. And I think it's interesting because there are certain animals, going back to rabbits as well, that when they scream, whether they're in pain or whatnot, they will make human sounds.
Yeah.
They will have human screams.
Absolutely.
And it's completely fair to think that that could have been a human or a few people, to be honest.
Aren't we glad that they called, you know, well, in England, I just learned that it's 999, dumb. So they called 999 and then, you know, I guess I would rather them find out that it was goats screaming in the gorge than get like, have people be like, oh, there must be some goats trapped in the gorge and then like find dead bodies 3 weeks later. So in the inverse, I suppose this is infinitely better.
So, Lou, I'm going to ask you a question because this is the question that I think everybody's asking.
Sure.
And I'm going to have you answer this to the best to your ability.
Okay. I'm ready.
So, Lou, how did these goats get in that gorge?
Ben, as you know, cheddar is a very aromatic cheese. It tickles the senses. I imagine that since goats, especially mountain goats in general, are accustomed to eating things like cans and garbage and feces, that they couldn't resist that cheddar gorge.
Fair enough. I think that answers it. So we're done here, folks. Not really.
Yeah, but, and we're out. Great show. No, I mean, it's interesting, too, that like that the sound that they were making was had convinced people that it was people who were trapped down there. Good for you. Good for you, goats.
Like, I'm sure you've seen the Sprint commercial that has, like, the goats screaming or whatnot.
Oh, yeah. I know what you speak.
I wonder if they got the inspiration from that, from this story.
Yeah, maybe. Like, it's interesting that, like, they got the search and rescue team out there. And, yeah, again, it's just really funny. Yeah, it's very funny to me that, like, and I guess, like, I think of goats. These are English goats, so I don't really know if there's a difference. But, like, when I think of goats, I always think of, you know, they baa. You know, they meh.
And those are sheep.
Oh, no, goats kind of do too, though. If you've ever, like, been around goats, they kind of do that too. Like, they make a sort of whining. It's very similar. You'd be surprised.
Okay, fair enough.
But, like, so like, the goats screaming, I guess what I'd like to know, Ben, is did they actually rescue the goats? Because if they were in such distress that they were screaming like a lady and her child trapped in a delicious, cheesy ravine, like, I would imagine that somebody should have saved those fucking animals, right?
Yeah, it doesn't ever say that they rescued them. It just says that they found them.
Exactly. It does not say that they rescued them.
They could have just been like, oh, yeah, there are goats in here. Okay, you want to go back to the pub? Awesome, let's do
that.
Let's
just assume that the goats ate their way to safety. They ate themselves through the cheddar waterfalls into the cheesy nooks and crannies of the cheese gorge. Cheddar gorge. I mean, sorry. Still cheese.
And that's what, a Wisconsinite's wet dream?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I figured.
It's my wet dream. A cheese gorge? Are you shitting me? Where are you going, honey? I'm just going to go mine for some cheddar. Oh, that'd be great.
Do you think Ashley would let you do that?
Are you kidding me? She would insist upon it. She'd probably make me quit my job. I'd be a full-time cheese miner. Like, whenever you got some, like some aged cheddar or some gorgonzola, like, you got the rest of the day off. Oh, my God, I hit a vein of blue cheese. Oh, my God, the bonus on this is going to be sweet. I feel like I could do the rest, like, I could do a whole hour just on cheese, different cheese puns and play on words.
Cheese exploration.
Cheese exploration.
Indiana Jones and the Case of the Lost Curd.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It'd be more enjoyable than Indiana Jones and the Alien Skulls or whatever the fuck that pile of garbage was.
That doesn't exist. We don't talk about that.
No, we do
that
talk never about it.
It never happened.
Speaking of which, can we talk about Harrison Ford surviving a plane crash the other day? Just
yeah, that shit was wild.
Crashing a plane and totally surviving. That's because Han Solo lives forever. And so does Indiana Jones and all the other characters that he has played.
Well, see, the thing was, I guarantee you that one of the people, like a stormtrooper, somebody had to worked on that airplane. You know,
maybe,
the efficiency.
Maybe. Now. Well, that's what you get for driving a 65-year-old airplane, Harrison. Come on, dude. Don't be...
Ford, focus.
That was terrible. How long did you have that in your pocket?
I just came up with it.
Oh, that's almost worse, Ben.
I mean, he was a Ford Explorer.
All right, now here's what just happened. You made a horrible joke, and then you somehow redeemed it with an equally horrible joke. The Ford Explorer joke was way better than the Ford Focus joke. Oh, man, I really wish that I could Ford escape this conversation.
To go to a Ford Fiesta.
Oh, my God.
You know, but you know you could find it in a Ford Fiesta, Lou.
What's that, Ben?
Delicious porcupine cookies.
Oh, good one. Yeah, we got to get a plug for those delicious porcupine cookies. We recently got our tagline game winner from the Oscar special, his porcupine cookies. Let me read you his direct quote. Quote, "Those were very delicious. I was concerned when I saw gluten-free, but they are actually quite delicious. And I ate all of them." He didn't share with Amanda. He ate all of them. So there you go. Words straight from. So again, you know, don't be afraid to Don't be afraid to taste something new. don't be afraid to taste something new. Just because it doesn't have gluten, wheat, soy, sodium, that doesn't mean it can't be tasty. Ben, myself, Dan, we've all had them. They're incredible. Friend of the show, Don Pitch, has had them. They're great. We all love them. Do yourself a favor. Order some porcupine cookies, or if you live in the greater Seattle area, you can find them at many of your local coffee shops in the Seattle area. Ben?
Including Juju Beats, Old Country Bakery, and Ma Boulange Bakery.
Oh, Ma Boulange Bakery. Damn it. I wish I lived there. That bakery whoops ass. Anyways, enough about delicious bakeries, although I want a delicious bakery.
All right, you can find us on Facebook, The News Chew with Ben and Lou. You can follow us on Twitter, at The News Chew. You can find and follow Porcupine Cookies on Facebook and on Twitter as well. And Lou, do you have any parting words for this week?
Smoke out your bunnies if you got them.